Father, thank you so much for your presence tonight. We're so grateful that we have an amazing place where we can come and worship and praise you freely and fellowship together and share your word without worrying about somebody come and arresting us for speaking your word or sharing your word or singing about you, God. Thank you so much, and we don't want to take it for granted, the freedoms that we have. I just thank you, Lord, for your word as it goes forth that will not return void without accomplishing what it was sent forth to do. And I just thank you for every person you brought here tonight. Thank you that you prepare their hearts to receive your word, Lord. Just praise you and thank you for your presence tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, honey. So awesome. The presence of God is awesome. Thank you so much. Well, 2 weeks went by really fast for me. So I was going to, I don't know who was here when Dwayne preached Sunday morning. I just thought he did such a great job. He just has such a really great way of simplifying things and, you know, making it practical application. He's got this grasp on the wisdom of God. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to tag off you, you know, and do that. And the Lord's like, oh, no, you're not. You're going a totally different direction. The last Wednesday when I was teaching about the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. You know, they're mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. The next morning I woke up and the Lord just opened this whole new idea to me about war. And he reminded me about Dwayne when Dwayne went into the military. And so he was 20, 21, something like that when he went into the military. And what the Lord reminded me was is that when he went into the military, he was given everything that he needed. He was stripped away of everything that really belonged to him. And then they went through this line and they were issued everything, down to their underwear. Seriously, for basic training, they were issued everything they needed. They were issued, their fatigues. They were issued their boots, their socks, everything. They went through a line. They got shots in both arms. He hates needles. That was the most mortifying part of it because they just take you through, like, herd you in this line, and there's people on both sides of you, and they're just, you know, just inoculating the heck out of you. He's like, oh my God, he called me, he's like, he said they had to sit me down at the end because I was going to pass out. I mean, if you show Dwayne a needle, just get ready to find a chair. Seriously, he's not here to defend himself. I'm sorry about that. I was hoping he was going to be here to help me through that little bit of a process. But the thing was, is that once he went through basic training, he had to go to AIT, which is advanced individual training, to learn his trade. And so that's what the Lord showed me about what we're doing. And 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, it says that we are soldiers. Let's go ahead and turn there. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. But the thing is that the soldiers that we are, we're just in a different kingdom. 2 Timothy 2. Let's see. Yep. It says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So who are we enlisted by? Yeah, Jesus, right? He's our commander in chief. So Jesus is the one that we are enlisted by. And so when you think about the military, and Dwayne is so great about this because, you know, he did it. But Dwayne's special trade that he chose to do was explosive ordnance disposal. Bomb squad. He got to defuse bombs and detonate bombs and all this stuff. And you think that needs a little bit of training. Yeah, a little bit of training. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:5 again. Let's just look at that. And Christy, could you pull that up on the Amplified for me? Because I don't think I can get it back up on mine. My iPad says it timed out. So I don't know what that means, but 2 Corinthians 10. Oh, no, here it is. Okay. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons." Now, doesn't that make you think that human weapons are lower than the weapons that God's given us? It sounds like not mere human weapons. No, no. Okay, let's see. Now, where am I? "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty. They are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments, theories, reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God." So the warfare that we're in is not with flesh and blood. And so the last time I spoke, it was about, it says that we have weapons. It's plural. That means that there's more than one. And so I started thinking about, wow, what all kinds of weapons do we have in this battle that we're in? Well, the first thing that I was thinking of is, when you think about Eve in the garden, where she really got tripped up was in her thinking. Because it says not to exalt above the knowledge of God, right? She had a knowledge of God, but the devil came in and he said, "Hath God said?" Did God really say that? And so what Duane was saying Sunday morning was that when God's word says something, reasoning comes in to say, like, well, that can't really be true. And one of his favorite ones to use is the scripture in Proverbs. It says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod will drive it far from him. Well, we have a whole generation of Dr. Spock who listened and said that, no, you can't spank your kid. It will hurt his psyche. You cannot spank them. You have to put them in time out. Well, I found in the Bible it says that a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. And doesn't say anything about the dad, right? So how do I bring down that reasoning that says it's better to put him in time out? Well, it says we have a weapon that brings that thought captive. And this is what it is. It's the word of God. If God's word says it, that has to be higher, right? Psalms 138, and I was looking for the scripture. God is so awesome. I was looking for this scripture. I was going through my concordance. I was going through here, and I just flipped open in Psalms, and it's Psalms 138, and I flipped right to it. I looked all the way, how it says, Psalms 138:2, in the very last part, it says, "You have magnified your word above all of your name." His word, and we know this according to Ephesians 6, that the weapon, you know, he's given us an armor, and that the sword of the Spirit is our weapon. He said, "I've exalted my word, I've magnified my word above my name." So if we have the word of God, we have the weapon. So that's why it's so important. And why do you think the devil's, you know, trying to convince you, oh, you're too tired to read the word today, or you're too busy to read the word today, or you'll never remember that scripture, or, you know, really it's so complicated. I don't know what excuses that, you know, he gives you, but I mean, there's always reasons why. Mainly it's you're too busy. You're too busy to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes to read the word. Because there's such beautiful nuggets in here. There's such instruction in here for every single aspect of your life. So going back to Duane in the military, he didn't know everything. And so he was issued everything. So I went through and tried to find some things that when we became Christians, when we asked Jesus to come into our life, what were we issued? I kind of thought about it in a military term, like, we get saved, and then this is what, we go through the line. What are we being issued? What are we being handed? And it says in Ephesians 4:7 that we have been given a measure of grace. And grace is basically God's empowerment on your life to do what he wants you to do. So he's given you a power. In Romans 12:3, it says that he's given us a measure of faith. He's given every man a measure of faith. So that you, what is faith? It says in Hebrews, it says it is impossible to please God without faith. And so he's given you a measure of it so that you can please him. Right? In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, so these are the things that we've been given. 2 Corinthians 5:5, it says that he has shed his love abroad in our hearts. You have been given a measure of love. Isn't that great? I mean, he's equipped you with these measures that are in your life. And so then we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He gave you those. That's in Galatians 5:20 through 22. So my point is that God has given you tools. Now, Dwayne he went through basic training to kind of get the gist of military life and being yelled and screamed at and told to do things that he didn't want to do to kind of bring a little discipline and, you know, obedience. And then when he went to his AIT, he got more training. And so, you know, that's why it's so important. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because when you come to church, it's not just who's standing up here. Holy Spirit is teaching you when you're sitting there. You'll hear something that somebody else didn't even hear because of the place that you're at this time. It's just like a scripture that I read, and maybe you haven't read, say, for a year, and then I read it again. I get so much out of it. Like that story of the walk to Emmaus. I can't tell you how many times I've read through that story. But this last time I read it, and it was like, Jesus walked with them, but he didn't let them see him, his person. He didn't allow them to see him in flesh and blood. Why? He said, he sat down with them and he showed himself from the beginning of the word all the way through it so that they could find him in the word. And that's how what he wants for us. He wants us to find him in the word, not waiting for him to show up at the foot of our bed to say, hey, I need you to do this. Right? He's living on the inside of us, and we need to be confident and know that he's given us these tools that we can hear his voice, because he said, when you belong to me, he says, my sheep know my voice, and we'll know his voice. We'll know how to be led and guided by his Spirit. 1 John 2:20 says that you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So when Jesus came and died on the cross and he went back to heaven, he's interceding for us, but he says, I'm sending you a helper. So he sent us the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is here to help us walk out this life. Okay, so I got through this. So we've been equipped. We've been kind of commissioned with these stuff that we have to be able to walk this life out as Christians. He hasn't left us alone, and he says, I've made these deposits on the inside of you. Well, how does fruit grow? How it has to be cultivated, right? It has to be watered, and it has to be fed, you know, fertilized. And how does that happen? The only way that it's going to happen is by spending time in God's presence, spending time in his word, listening to music, listening to tapes, fellowshipping with one another, coming to church. You know, hearing the word of God. I mean, it's just so important. Okay, let's see. When Dwayne was talking, he was talking about the carnal mind being enmity to God. So when we talk about pulling down, he says that the weapons are mighty through God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. So these are arguments, theories, reasonings. So basically, the issue is between our ears. Right here. What we're going to have to deal with until Jesus comes back is what's going on right here between the ears. And so in Romans, you guys know the scripture, Romans 12. It's just easier for me to flip there in here. Romans 12, 1. When I get to the end here, I want to do this little practice, a little meditation to help you kind of get to a place where you can, I don't know, we're just going to get rid of some baggage. Basically, we're just going to get rid of some baggage. So Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what happened with Eve in the garden was that her mind wasn't renewed. She didn't hold fast to what God said about what they could eat. He says, has God said you can eat of every tree in the garden? She's like, yes, we can eat of all the trees, except that one in the middle of the garden. Well, what's going to happen if you eat that tree? Well, we'll die. Well, you won't really die. So what happened? The argument, the reasoning, if she had been renewed in her mind, what would she have done? She had probably taken and chopped the serpent's head off and said, get behind me, right? If she had truly been renewed in her mind. And so that's how we are. If you don't have this on the inside of you, how can you refute arguments? How can you refute reasoning? When somebody comes to you and they say, let's just use spanking. I can't believe you spank your child. Well, when I became a Christian, I gave up my opinion to have, you know, I gave up my right to have an opinion. God's word says many times that if I spank him, I will preserve his soul from hell. Basically, I'm beating the hell out of him. That's what Dwayne would always say. It's got to go. I don't know. There's so many reasonings that come into our brain that I can't even think of right now. But let me tell you a story. Dwayne, because he's not here, I'm going to tell the story on him. We're just talking about taking God's word when he says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That means no thing. Nothing. You can't be anxious. And Proverbs 12:20 says that anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. So depression is caused by anxiety. And anxiety, when you look at the root of it, it's just fear. What are you afraid of? So what we've done, what we've been practicing this year is that just when we start being anxious about something is just letting it go. Just, you know, taking a deep breath and just letting it go and saying, God, I trust you with that. I trust you with that. I'm not going to worry about it. And not even really saying it, just in your, you know, in your thoughts, just saying, God, I'm just going to release that to you. I'm not going to be anxious about that. So February a year ago, Dwayne bought a little plane. It needed a little bit of work. And so he took it to this guy who said that he could have it fixed up and ready to fly in 6 weeks. So he talked to a guy who was going to help. He was going to fly the airplane and give him his lessons and do this. He had like 6 hours or something to do. And he paid the guy to do it. And the guy needed an advance. So Dwayne gave the guy the full advance to do his flying then. And then when we got done with the plane, because Dwayne thought it's going to be done in 6 weeks. No problem. We're going to be flying. The plane is still sitting in the hangar. February a year ago, so February, March, April, May, June, 16 months later. So Dwayne's been worried about this advance that he gave this guy because he hasn't talked to him. It's looking like the plane might be ready to fly. And so he hasn't mentioned it to me until this last week, and we were talking about this releasing stuff and letting it go. So he told me this week, he's like, yeah, he says, I was thinking about that money and I'm thinking I'm going to call the guy and say, you know, hey, $300, you know, I need that money, whatever. You know, he was just thinking those thoughts. And he's like, no, you know what? I'm not going to bother with it. I'm not going to mess with it. It's going to come around. The guy called him. No lie. The guy called him. And he says, hey, look. He says, I talked to so-and-so who's working on the plane. He says, I know he's going to need the flight, you know, the test flight and all this kind of stuff for me to do. But I'm not going to be there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you your money back that you gave me as an advance. Just from releasing it, letting it go. Okay, now I'll tell you a really great story for me. I was really, really, when my mom left to go to Colorado, really, really wanted to be with my grandson, like at least one day a week. My day with him is Wednesdays. And I was really, really worried about not getting my Wednesdays with him. But I didn't complain about it, and I didn't worry about it. I just kept on saying, Lord, I trust you with it. I trust you with it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to let it go. So I had this little meditation of what I would do and when I would let it go. And then I knew that when I did, to God, it was like from the east was from the west. He's got it under control. I'm letting it go. So my niece comes in to see me, Shaylee, and I said, what are you doing this summer? She told me, oh, I'm working at Josh's. I'm like, are you working every day at Josh's? And she's like, well, no. And I'm like, well, I know it's not a very glamorous job. I said, but how would you like to work here, you know, one day a week? She's like, yeah, I would do that. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. So anyway, she's doing that. She's working on Wednesday so that I get to spend the whole day with Trenton. Well, I was still worried about one thing. And I had actually even talked to her about this, but it wasn't working out because she'd already committed her time to someone else. So I was worried about leaving the office unmanned while we go on vacation, because we're all going on vacation and no one's staying behind, you know, to take care of that. And so I kept fretting about it on the inside. I kept fretting, and it was like the Holy Spirit was like, why are you fretting about this? Didn't I say to cast all your cares on me because I care so much for you? And I'm like, oh, man, yeah, I know you do. He's like, well, go ahead and do that now. And then I'm like, okay. So I sat there and I did my meditation of just thinking about releasing it, letting it go. And last Wednesday, Dwayne is in the office and Shaylee was in the office. And he says, I don't remember exactly how the conversation went. I just know he called me and he said, hey, I was just sitting here talking to Shaylee and she thinks that she can work it out to where she can be at the office the whole time we're gone. I'm like, didn't I? She's a witness. Of course, Dwayne had on speakerphone. She's like, woohoo, I'm so excited. Anyway, what my point is in telling you those three stories is that God cares about what you care about, and he will work it out. And you don't have to figure it out, and you don't have to reason, and you don't have to say, there's just no way. Because that's what was in my head. There's just no way. There's no way. Dwayne and I couldn't come into agreement about what to do about it. There was just no anything. And I said, you know what? I'm just not even talking about it to anybody. I'm just going to cast my care on Jesus and know that he's going to take care of it. Okay, Psalms 138:8. This is my last scripture, and then we're going to do this little practice here. Chrissy, you don't have to pull up that one, but don't pull up these others. I'm just going to go through these real quick. It says, Philippians 4:6, which you know says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and peace will come to you. Peace is a great weapon against the enemy, because you can rest in peace when you know that God's taking care of it. Prayer is a great weapon. It's one of the weapons of our warfare. Prayer. Okay? 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. And then, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. So you can just say, I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. Okay, the scripture says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The Lord will perfect that thing which concerns me. So if you have anything at all in your life that concerns you, guess what? The Lord will perfect it. But guess what he needs you to do? He needs you to cast all your care on him. Now, at God's Girls, we talked a little bit about this and just letting things go. And so I was just reminded of a song that Laura, if you guys listen to the radio broadcast of the water hole, and Laura sings, "There is a river that flows from the throne." Well, anyway, I love that song. To me, it just flows all over me. So what I want to do is I've asked her if she'll play that song for us tonight. So we're going to have a little practice, a little meditation practice. So I want you guys to just get comfortable, and it's not going to take very long, but so just get ready. I'm going to walk you through this like meditation. So you're going to be closing your eyes and be thinking about this, of what's going on, and get ready to cast your cares. Okay, so now what I want you to do is close your eyes and just listen to my voice and just imagine the picture that I'm painting for you, and just see yourself going through this process, okay? I want you to first just take a deep breath in as much as you can take and hold it. 3, 2, 1. Now release it out and just relax. And you're in a car and it's loaded with some bags. And you're in the car and you're driving down the road. And you come to a fork in the road, and when you take a left, it's going to be a dirt road, and it says the river. And you're driving down this dirt road, and you see another turn, and it's another turn, says the river. And you take a left, and you go down, and you see this beautiful grass. It's green, a little hilly, and you see the river. And you're going to take a little walk down. But you got to unload your car. And in your car are all your cares, your concerns, your worries, your frets, your unforgiveness, your anger, your grudges. Anything that you're holding on to. You got those bags in your car. Now you're going to take them. And you're going to walk down that grassy knoll. Right down to the river. And it's just you and your bags. You're the only one there. And the river is flowing. You can hear it. Little tiny rapids. It's kind of deep. It's green, and you can see the bottom. It's flat and beautiful. You're going to sit right on the edge on that bank. We're going to cast our cares into the river. But just sit there for a minute, maybe roll your pants up, stick your feet in the river, and feel the coolness of it. It's a healing river from God. It's refreshing you right now as your feet are sitting in there and you're hearing the sound of it. And you look over to your right and there's a bag sitting there. It's kind of heavy. It's a weight. It's kind of held you back. You know what the name of it is. And when you're ready, just take a deep breath and hold it over the water. And when you exhale, just let it go and let it flow down that river. You probably have another one sitting there on your left. I don't know what it is, but you do. Pick it up and look at it and say, "It's time for you to go. I'm ready to release you into the river." And when you're ready, just drop it down in there. Watch it float away. There's probably one behind you. It's kind of hiding there because it's been a part of your life for a really long time, but reach back there and grab it. Look at it, take a deep breath, and say, "I don't need you anymore. I've got God on my side, and He's working in my life. He's perfecting the things that concern me. So I'm going to put you in the river." Take a deep breath and just exhale and release it into the river. Psalms 103 says that, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." So whatever you've released into the river tonight, and you can do this anytime, at any place. Psalms 139 says that He knows your thoughts afar off. You don't even have to say anything. He knows it. And when you think about that weight that you just let go into the river, it's so far down the river, you'll never be able to find it or catch up to it, or it's gone down into the Rio Grande and out into the Gulf and out into the Atlantic Ocean. You're never going to find it again because he's removed it as far as the east is from the west. And he says, take my yoke upon you because it's easy and it's light. And I'm right here with you. I promise I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And he's right there with you. He says, I'll never leave you. Even when you feel like you're totally alone, he says, I'm right here with you. I've got you. I'm holding you. No more worrying. No more fretting. Take my hand and let's walk this life out together. In Jesus' name. Amen. So that's something that I do a lot of. And you may just, it may not be a river for you. You may want to take hot air balloons or something that you can relate to, of really being able to release it and let it go to where you can just watch it in your mind's eye, just drifting until it's gone. And then whenever the enemy wants to come and bring it back to you, you can say, no, that's gone. That's gone into the sea of God's forgetfulness. God's taken that as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Joseph.
Thank you, honey. That was so beautiful.